shells. Vibrant. Lehunt. Vibrant.
Right here on News 101.
What motivated you to become a candidate in the provincial election?
The media portrayal of last week's protest that resulted in polarizing images of black-clad activists taking to the streets.
He was just explaining to us the reason why they wanted to show this film on campus.
The official stance is that we are for the Olympics.
News 101 reporter Brad Pepping was there.
By discriminating against homeless people in Vancouver, there's a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal people as well as people with disabilities.
I was pretty outraged. I mean, it is outrageous.
In-depth coverage from an alternative perspective.
You're listening to News 101, Vancouver's only live, volunteer-produced, student and community newscast, offering you local, national, and international news from an alternative perspective.
Today is Friday, March 1st. I'm Morgan Yee.
And I'm Phil Chang. You're listening to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you live from the University of British Columbia to our UBC campus, to the residents of Vancouver, and to listeners of our newscasts and podcasts on our website, citr.ca.
Good evening. It is 5:23, and time for a full hour of close to a half hour of independent news. Today, our headlines will cover local news from around Vancouver, provincial and national news from across Canada. And we have Hardball with Iqbal today for your listening pleasure. And today, we're actually going to start off, our show with an interview with Shiori and Jenny from Tap That UBC, which is an initiative to lessen or encouraging students to use reusable bottles and tap water on campus versus buying bottled water. Hi, girls.
Hi.
So first off, could you give us basically the lowdown on what your campaign is trying to achieve?
So Tap That UBC is a student-run campaign made of a whole bunch of environmental clubs and undergraduate societies and everyone bonding together to try to eliminate the sale of bottled water at UBC. And what we're doing is we're trying to petition the university to commit to a future date by which they'll go bottled water free. You know, we appreciate that UBC is a massive institution with a lot of red tape to go through, and we just really want to work with them on this. We want to let them set their own timeline by the end of which they'll be able to go bottled water free.
Nice. How many signatures do you guys have so far?
We have about 1,700.
I think it's more than that.
Close to 2,000?
I think we have almost 2,000. Like, we have, nice. We've been doing a bunch of paper petitioning, and you know, it gets inputted into our online database a bit more slowly. But yeah, it's around 2,000, I think.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so, like, do you guys know how much bottled water is actually sold on campus annually?
In 2010, there was a pretty thorough report done, so these are 2010 figures, but there are about 170,000 bottles sold in 2010, and that would amount to around $350,000 worth of profit for UBC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any plans on what you would do to compensate the university for the losses in profit?
There's been a huge amount of debate on this, you know, like, in order to get endorsement from different undergraduate societies, we did have to think a lot about this, especially the AMS. They lose about $75,000 a year from this. Yeah, it's a pretty hefty number. I mean, obviously, we're not asking the university to, like, stone cold turkey just stop selling bottled water. You know, this is why we're giving them time. We're giving them, like, a period of years for them to divest resources and invest in different sources and different alternates of income, maybe do a little bit of budget reallocation, things like that. And like, we were thinking about for alternatives. Do you guys know about those like collapsible water bottles? They're
yes.
the ones, yeah, yeah,
the bladders, sort of.
Yeah, that's another way to put it, I guess. Yeah, the bladders. Yeah, so those are about $1.50 at cost, $2 max. You know, they're a great alternative if students forget their bottles at home, or you know, if the university just wants to put a little bit of branding on it, someone's gonna buy it. So yeah, that's
nice.
Like obviously nothing's gonna cover the whole cost, but it's yeah. It's definitely in the cards.
Very cool. So then, do you guys have stats on, like, the amount of energy? And I think there's something on your site about this. Could you let mm-hmm. the listeners know, you know, how much money you would, or how much energy you would be potentially saving by turning to bottled water? Or turning away from bottled water?
Yeah, we have a few stats for, like, energy use. For example, like, the extraction, bottling, and production, and the transportation of bottled water is actually, like, 2,000 times more energy than producing tap water. Also, to produce one single plastic bottle, water bottle, it takes about a third of the bottle of oil and three bottles of water to produce that one plastic bottle.
Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, so we could potentially be saving a lot of
yes.
energy and resources by turning to
Yeah, for sure. And, like, it's kind of a little known fact, but UBC actually has a whole bunch of sustainability goals that they're setting for the future, and one of them is reducing their greenhouse gas emissions.
I was supposed to say something as Nardwar sneaks out with his bottled water in hand.
Ooh, shame, for shame.
Donate to CITR.
Sorry, continue.
yeah, so UBC actually has...
extra time.
Yeah.
Man, I love this. This is so chill. yeah. So, yeah, like, UBC actually has its own, like, sustainability goals it's want to reach. And one of these is that by 2050, they want to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions by 100%. So, yeah, that's a really hefty goal. In order to do this, then, you know, eliminating bottled water sales is going to be something that they have to do.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's cool that it's, you know, in line with what the AMS is intending to do anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, do you have any, how can you allay, you know, like, the safety concerns around bottled water? Because I'm from a community where for the last 15 years we've been on, you know, boil water advisory. I mean, I still drink the tap water, but there's always that little worry, like, so is there anything that you can say to students and listeners who are in Vancouver about the safety of the tap water here?
Yeah, like, I don't know, municipal tap water, especially in a massive city like Vancouver, is tested many, many times mm-hmm. a day, many times a week, you know, much more than bottled water is. Mm-hmm. The regulation for bottled water is really, really loose. There are very few people who work on that as opposed to people who are working on regulation of municipal water sources. Mm-hmm. So
tap water is actually regulated like 25 times a week, whereas bottled water is only regulated like once a week.
Okay.
So that's like a pretty big comparison.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, also I know that some people do have like problems with some maybe the chemicals that they put in the water, like for one, I think the AMS water fill stations do an excellent job of filtering the crap out of, you know, anything that goes through them, so and they're rolling out more of them.
I was just gonna ask that, because I know there's two or three of them in the sub right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's two now.
Okay,
we're planning to get five more, I think.
I think there are like 5 to 8 more. Like, they're already nice. In the buildings. Like, Kaiser doesn't have a single fountain. We walked around and there's nothing in there, but there's a water fill station sitting there on the first floor, and it's probably going to be operational soon. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
That's great. Do you have anything else to say just before we go about how other students can get involved or where they can, you know, sign your petition and how they mm-hmm. can contact you?
We have an official website. It's tap.ubc.com.
There, okay.
We have the petition there. We have a lot of resources. We have some FAQs, and we also have some contact information. So if people want to be more involved with the campaign, they can contact us there. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, we just want to really make it clear that we're not really like a radical environmental group trying to go out there and push the university against the wall to make this decision. We're really, really interested in working with the university, and we believe that this is something that all of us need to achieve together. Yeah.
Nice. And so, just final question. Do you guys have a timeline set for when you are going to, you know, hand in your petition? Or how long is your campaign, you know, going on for?
Yeah, originally we were going to hand it in on March 1st, but we didn't manage to secure an appointment with anyone. But we actually do have an appointment with Louise Cowan, who is the VP for Students, and Andrew Parr, who's director of SHUSH, on March 13th. So we'll be petitioning up to, up to March 12th, and hopefully hitting our 3,000, our goal of 3,000 signatures by March 12th. Woo! Exciting times.
Well, good job, girls, on the work you guys have been doing, and thank you for coming in to talk to us and to our listeners about your project.
Thank you so much.
And we're just going to take a... and we would now like to take some time to let you, our listeners, know that it's Fund Drive Week. So Fund Drive is CITR's annual fundraiser. We're hoping this year to raise $30,000. And this would go towards supporting different CITR initiatives, and particularly to supply us with some new boards for our three stations, as ours are fairly archaic. And as the new sub-project is coming up in a couple years, we'd like to be able to move into the new building with newer boards. So if you would like to donate, you can call us at 604-822-8648. That's 604-822-8648. And our Fund Drive phone operators will be happy to take your call. And make sure you let them know that you want to donate on behalf of News 101. Your support will enable CITR to enjoy another 75 years of local radio. You can also donate in person at the station or online at citr.ca. We're going to take a quick PSA break. And then we'll be back with our local and campus headlines. Iqbal's indicating that there are no PSAs, so we're gonna talk about some of the swag you can get from CITR this year. So if you donate, certain amounts, you can get certain swag. So for $30, you get a Friends of CITR card.
No way.
I know, pretty ballin'. For $75, you get the card and a T-shirt. We have either the Diamond Radioversary shirt or the 75 Years of CITR T-shirt. For $101.9 in donation, you get your card, your T-shirt, and the Pop Alliance LP, which I believe is also has something to do with the finale. Am I correct? Yes. So the release of that LP will be going down on March 8th at Chapel Arts. So if you're interested, hit up our website to take a look at that. For $175, you get the card, the T-shirt, the LP, and the 30 years of Discorder calendar, which is fantastic. Now we'll go to the PSAs, and we'll be back with our national, or local and campus news. Sorry.
Hi there, folks. I'm the soundboard in Studio B. Well, I have enjoyed many long years here at CITR. I'm afraid my time is coming to an end, you see. I'm dying. But the station must live on. Please, donate to this year's fund drive from February 28th to March 8th. And help purchase new soundboards to take my place. To donate, call 604-822-8648 or go online to www.citr.ca. Hurry, because I don't have much time left.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, The Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
And And welcome back to News 101. You're listening on CITR 101.9 FM or online at citr.ca. And now we have your local and campus headlines. A new study conducted by UBC researchers and published in the journal GAMA or JAMA Pediatrics has suggested that giving back through volunteering is good for your heart, even at a young age. Researchers from UBC's Faculty of Education and Department of Psychology wanted to find out how volunteering might impact physical health among adolescents. To conduct the study, researchers split 106 grade 10 students from an urban inner-city Vancouver high school into two groups, a group that volunteered regularly for 10 weeks and a group that was waitlisted for volunteer activities. The researchers measured the students' body mass index, or BMI, inflammation and cholesterol levels before and after the study. They also assessed the students' self-esteem, mental health, mood, and empathy. The volunteer group of students spent 1 hour per week working with elementary school children in an after-school program in their neighborhood. After 10 weeks, they had lower levels of inflammation and cholesterol and lower BMIs than the students who were waitlisted. Hannah Schreier, who conducted the research during her doctoral studies at UBC and is now a postdoctoral fellow at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York, said that, quote, "It was encouraging to see how a social intervention to support members of the community also improved the health of adolescents," end quote.
A new report released by an action group in the downtown East Side has painted a dire picture of the area. The Carnegie Community Action Project released last week its annual report on housing and single-room occupancy hotels in the downtown East Side, and it stated that 426 rooms went from being affordable for people on welfare to being unaffordable. With monthly rents over $425. However, only 24 new government-operated welfare housing units were opened, at rates at which it will take the city 54 years to achieve its goal of replacing single-occupancy rooms with self-containing social housing. However, despite the city's goals that social and market housing in the area should proceed at the same speed, the report showed market housing developer outpacing social housing development 6-1. As well, it showed the number of homeless people in the area overall had risen in the last year from 700 to 850. The report described the discrimination faced by low-income tenants from landlords who prefer tenants who are not on welfare, and the slow and unrealistic pace that the city is taking to fulfill its mandate on social housing. The report ended by calling on the city government to declare a memorandum on condo development in the downtown East Side and to buy 10 sites a year for the next 5 years to devote solely to social housing. It asked the provincial government to raise basic welfare and wage rates, as well as improve tenants' rights and repeat the request to the federal government to create and enact a national housing strategy. For more information about this report, please visit ccapvancouverwordpress.com.
Unionized campus childcare workers reached a new tentative agreement with the University of British Columbia on the 27th after 3 days of mediation in response to a strike notice. Although neither group has confirmed the terms of the deal, it is suspected to be similar to the other union deals made this year. The strike began on February 21st over wage increases. Workers currently make between $11.81 and $21.19 per hour, and the union is pushing for a minimum wage of $20 per hour. However, most unions on campus who have settled this year receive percentage raises of approximately 2%, with an increase by 2% the following year. The university moved to make a deal with the union during the same day that the strike notice was decided. Workers had planned rotating pickets at 5 daycare centers on campus on March 1st, today, a move that would have affected over 100 children. However, the strikes were stalled by UBC's immediate call for mediation, and the new agreement now ensures no strikes will or have happened. During mediation, BCGEU Local 303 Chair Andrea Duncan said to the UBC in an interview that mandates from the provincial government prevented UBC from offering what she feels is a fair wage for early childhood educators. Duncan said, quote, "We're really hoping that the government will allow UBC to break outside of that mandate and pay these individuals what they deserve." However, other sources have said the New Deal does indeed fall within provincial mandates and that it is a fair increase. Both sides hope to conclude any future conflicts in the future with the same direct manner.
And now, in an escalating effort to make the case for rapid transit on Broadway sooner than later, Vancouver's mayor and the president of UBC say a line is key to spurring the city's tech economy, and that economy will help the whole province. Mayor Gregor Robertson also warned that Vancouver is in danger of falling behind other cities because of its poor transit connection between its Broadway corridor, home to the region's major medical research facilities and 25% of its high-tech companies, and its major research university on the western edge. He says, quote, "Without a major update in our transit system, we risk losing out to research hubs from our global competitors like Toronto, New York, and London, all cities who have their job corridors linked with their academic institutions by rapid transit." Mr. Robinson also said he and the University of British Columbia president Stephen Troupe laid out the argument for investments in the 2.8 million subway line. Vancouver and UBC split the cost of a 100,000 KPMG report that marshaled arguments about the needs for transit to make Vancouver competitive. It was presented at a joint news conference on Tuesday. Troupe said, quote, "If we do a better job in connecting in Vancouver, we're going to be able to drive the economy and social health of the province," end quote. The KPMG report compiled economic and transportation data from previous city and Translink reports and included new information about how the UBC Vancouver hub compares to Tech City in London, San Diego's Connect Tech Incubator District, and Cornell University's NYC Tech Campus, New York, as well as the MARS Technology, Mars Technology Incubator District in Toronto. The report noted that Vancouver had many of the conditions to make its technology sector competitive. It has a university with global standing, well-trained graduates, and an attractive lifestyle. However, the report said the city is weak in four key areas: transit infrastructure, access to affordable office and lab space, affordable housing, and collaboration amongst groups that should be working together to develop a strong tech sector. The biggest problem is how to pay for the transit line. The $1 billion TransLink system has maxed out its current resources. Primarily property taxes, fares, gas taxes, and a parking tax. The province, after allowing a gas tax increase 2 years ago to help finance the Millennium Line extension, has insisted the solution is for TransLink to be more efficient or the city to raise more through property taxes.
Attendees of Wreck Beach on the edge of the UBC campus feel summertime swimmers are threatened by boaters and jet skiers too close to shore. The Metro Vancouver Board has approved a push for more police patrols in the area, but some say this isn't enough and they won't stop until boats near the beach are completely banned. Judy Williams, chair of the Wreck Beach Preservation Society, is pushing to have the boaters gone. She said, quote, "Last summer was the absolute worst. These guys start coming in on jet skis, ignoring the buoys, drinking and being real jerks," end quote. In the summer, the beach has long attracted a unique community of relaxed, often nude nature lovers. But, according to Williams, it started to attract a growing number of young men on small boats and personal watercraft. Men whose, quote-unquote, macho attitudes, Williams feels, are an affront to the beach's usual mood, and whose antics may pose a danger to swimmers. The Society first approached Transport Canada to issue a ban on motorized boats in the foreshore area of Pacific Spirit Regional Park in 2002, and a marked swim area edging the beach was established. But the Society says boaters have been behaving dangerously within the marked swim area since it was created. Transport Canada has since proposed two different designated areas, one for swimmers and one for boats. Again, the Society balked at this because they say this will only bring more of them, being boaters, into the beach area. The plan for this summer is to put up more signs that advise boaters to slow down within the swim area. Metro Vancouver is pushing the RCMP to do more patrols of the area during the busy summer months, but they're refusing to give any extra money to pay for them. They say they'll continue to work with the society to find a safe solution for the area, but that they aren't willing to join the push for a Transport Canada boat ban. Maria Harris, Metro Vancouver Director of Electoral Area A, which is the unincorporated area which includes Wreck Beach, said in an interview with the UBC that, quote, "The Wreck Beach Society asked Metro Vancouver to do what they can to make sure there is no access lane and no docking facility on the foreshore for motorized vehicles and especially for jet skis. I hope they'll find something to make it less attractive for jet skis to bother coming to that area," end quote. Although Metro Vancouver won't be paying for any increased police patrols into the area, Harris said there are a number of other ways they could be funded, including taking the cost out of the provincial rural tax. But for Williams and other Wreck Beach regulars, a simple request for more policing won't be enough to solve the problem. They will be pushing for a full ban.
And now we're going to take a quick PSA break. You're listening to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM. Stay with us to hear about provincial news after the break, as well as the weather forecast for this week.
Where's the money?
CITR.
You want that money?
CITR.
Where's the money?
CITR.
Where's the money?
CITR.
Where's the f***ing money?
CITR.
The 2013 CITR Fund Drive is from February 28th to March 8th. Our goal is to raise $30,000 bills to help get new soundboards in all three of our studios. This means we need help from listeners just like you. To donate, call 604-822-8648. That's 604-822-8648. Or go online to citr.ca and help support the station you love.
Despite the fact that 8 in 10 Canadians are against warrantless and costly online spying, the government remains stubborn, set to cement this scheme into law. With their huge PR budget, they've unleashed a reckless and irresponsible campaign that suggests warrantless collection of our private data is on par with a phone book. We can't let them trick Canadians. Go to www.openmedia.ca now to find out what you can do to get involved and stop this smoke and mirrors campaign the government has started.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about four times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, RX Comics, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, Temple of the Modern Girl Boutique, the Wallflower Modern Diner, and Woo Vintage Clothing.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
Hey, and welcome back to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM. We're going to go right now to the weather, and then we'll spend the remainder just different pitches for why you should donate to us. So here's Phil with the weather.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. Hey, good evening, listeners. You may already know this from just looking out the window or listening to the tap, tap, tap on the roof of buildings. But yes, it is indeed raining in Vancouver right now. The UBC weather model, the one on the Earth and Ocean Science building, rooftop is forecasting about 2 to 4 millimeters per hour this entire night, accumulating up to 40 millimeters by midnight. It's actually quite exciting, having some dynamic weather for a change of pace from all those high pressure systems we've had recently. We're not expecting any lightning, but we'll have rain and lots of thick clouds. The rainy system looks like it will remain with us until 8 p.m. tomorrow evening. And now,
If you're a snow sports enthusiast and thinking of heading out to the mountains this weekend, you just may want to reconsider. The rain we're getting right now is part of a weather phenomenon called the Pineapple Express, which is in essence a burst of warm air from the tropics.
Start over.
Oh, am I on too?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. We had a had a complication with the mics. Sorry, Phil, if you want to...
Okay, sounds good. So, for more, for another repeat, you may already know this, but... just look out the window or listen to tap, tap, tap from the rooftop and you will see, yes, it is indeed raining in Vancouver right now. Our UBC rooftop model is forecasting about 2 to 4 millimeters per hour for this entire night. So that accumulates up to 40 millimeters by midnight throughout the entire day. Quite exciting, actually, to have some dynamic weather for a change of pace from all the calm high-pressure systems we've had recently. We're not expecting any lightning, just rain and layers of lots of thick clouds. The rainy system looks like it will remain with us until 8 p.m. tomorrow evening. And now, if you're a snow sports enthusiast and are thinking of heading out to the mountains this weekend, you just may want to reconsider. The rain we're getting right now is a part of a weather phenomenon called the Pineapple Express. In essence, a burst of warm air from the tropics, the express delivers rain, but it also has a side effect of liquefying snow on mountaintops, which creates instability. The risk for avalanches is greatly increased for this weekend, so it is probably best not to head out to the highlands. Now, we have the weather bulletin from Environment Canada. Tonight, rain, 20 millimeters, 40 up to 40 millimeters near the shore. Windy near waters. Temperature near 10 degrees. Saturday, periods of rain, ending early afternoon, then cloudy. 10 millimeters of rain and temperatures steady near 8. Saturday night, cloudy, low of plus 4. And finally, Sunday, a mix of sun and cloud with 30% chance of showers, high of 9. So, yeah, thanks for listening. That's the weather overview of this weekend, brought to you by the UBC Storm Club as well as Environment Canada. I'm Phil from Storm Club. We're going to go now to...
we got some fun drive pitches. Iqbal, did you want to jump in there?
Yeah, sure. So, as you guys have probably heard ad nauseum on CITR, I mean, I don't mean nauseum, I mean, you've probably heard plenty because it's a great thing to hear constantly. This is our Fun Drive show at News 101, and I would just like to start by letting you know how important it is to support independent journalism. I believe News 101 is probably the only purely journalism-focused show on CITR, and we're completely independent, we're volunteer-run, I mean... I sure don't make any money off this, neither does Morgan. So we're here for the love of journalism, and CITR's been very important, especially for me in getting the experience and, like...
getting him off the streets.
Yeah, getting me off the streets, you know. Make sure of a structured life and all that good stuff. But it's also taught me a lot about journalism, and it's... actually, CITR has actually changed my career plans a bit, because I never thought of journalism as a... I was going to be interested in until I got here, until I actually got the chance to, and the freedom that you get through independent journalism that I couldn't get anywhere else. So if you want to support getting kids like me off the streets and into productive programs like CITR's News 101, you should donate at 604-822-8648. Or it's a 604-UBC unit if you're more of a words person. Or you can go to citr.ca/donate and remember to mention CITR in your donation, or just donate regardless.
No, not CITR, News 101. Yeah, we need at least 5 people to donate. So definitely make sure you say you're donating towards News 101.
And just so everyone can hear again, that number is 604-822-8648. And honestly, donate whatever you can. That could be $5, or it could be more money than I probably have in my bank account right now.
All right. I'll take it from here, I guess. I am the weather correspondent, and I must say, I personally think CITR does a great job of supporting all these student-run programs. I am a student myself. I study atmospheric science, and I am deathly scared of being unemployed after I graduate. And yeah, I never thought about journalism or working with a news show, but CITR, once I approached them, were really nice and pointed me to the right department, the news department, and man, it's been great. I've been here for a year now, and I got lots of experience doing what I like doing, and whether you're into weather, sports, other news, anything, just approach us, and the volunteer coordinator is always so helpful.
Yeah, Hugo is fantastic. So if you ever have any questions, you know, shoot an email to volunteer@citr.ca.
Yeah. So again, to support like this great opportunity so other students like myself can also almost like change your life around, please do make a donation to us. Again, the number is 604-822-8648.
And you can always donate online, citr.ca/donate. And that's our program for today, March 1st. Our newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. You can always contact us by email, news@citr.ca. Subscribe to our podcast and listen to our latest interviews and segments on our website, citr.ca/news. And you can join us on Monday for another program, but it has been preempted to another time slot. Oh, it's been canceled.
It's
just the city. But we will be back next Friday for a for our International Women's Day show. So join me and Claire and different women involved in women's programs around the city next Friday. I'm Morgan Yee.
And I'm Phil Chang. Today's show was produced by
Iqbal Ahmed. And just one last time, don't forget to donate at 604-822-8648 or at citr.ca/donate.
And next up, we've got Stranded, so stick around.
This is Julie Ferris from MOVE. You're listening to UBC Radio CITR FM 101.999.
calling on her phone. I've got no time to be alone. Summer coming at me all the time. You better think I lose my mind. Cause I'm stranded on my own. Stranded far from home. Alright.
All right, here we are on CITR 101.9 FM.